Oh, side that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed about, it sends out a light that I can clearly see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone the light around me, that I could clearly see. Wasn't for the lighthouse,
tell me,
where would this shield be? Well, everybody that lives around us says to tear that old lighthouse down. You know, the big ships don't sail this way anymore, and there's no need in it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light, and the light from that old lighthouse. It stands up there on the hill, and I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin shone the light around me, that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good. You know, one thing about this bunch, they like to sing. I don't care if it's a handful or a houseful. I like to sing. I enjoy that so much. My goodness. Songs are done in the choir, and that was really, really good. Brother Randy, he done good on that. I like that song. Even though we do it, I still like it. My goodness. Don't forget, still got the sheet on the board for fruit baskets, so make sure tonight's it. And then Wednesday night we'll be going out, 5:30 now, so don't be late. If you're going to be late, call us and we'll tell you where we bees, okay? So try your best to be here so we can get off on time, okay? Turn your Bible to the book of Joshua, the third chapter. The book of Joshua, the third chapter. I want to read a verse of Scripture. I think we... When we read of what we're going to read tonight, God has a way of correcting us and straightening us out. He knows how to lead us This morning, we didn't talk about it, but when those people went to see Jesus while he's on that mountain, and they went up there and was fed them 5,000, you know, them folks had to be led. They just didn't jump on any mountain. They didn't just go in any spot. They had to be led. And who better to lead than the Lord? I mean, who better to lead? Read with me one verse, the last verse, the third chapter. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, God, for the privilege that we've been gathered together. Thank you, God, that we're able to sing the songs and rejoice because of what it means to be saved. And I pray, God, for those that, God, tonight are hurting physically, God, you be with them. And God, we pray, God, for even the ones that's in the hospitals, God, those that are in the nursing homes right now, help them. Guide us through the service, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It sounds like from the last verse of that chapter that God's people made it over the Jordan River, doesn't it? It sounds like they made it over just fine. If you go to the beginning of the chapter kind of starts out with Brother Joshua's got some issues. Now, Brother Joshua don't have the issues like I got, you know. I remember going and trying to play military in basic training, and one of the things they told us that we was going to have to do before we got out of basic training was go to the gas chamber and go and get, just that good old tear gas stuff. And now, when you've never been through tear gas like the majority that's in this room, you don't know what you're getting into. You're scared to death. You think, oh, Lord, am I going to die? And you're not going to die. You just think you're going to die, okay? And you think and you dread and dread and dread, and finally the week comes along. And when you get there, before you go inside that building, they've got us rolling down our sleeves and buttoning up our collar, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, why in the world are we doing that? As you get closer, you know why. It begins to burn. Everyone that's ever been through it know what it's talking about. It burns, and you got a mask on. It burns everything that's got skin available, okay? Went through that, hated every minute of it. Everybody else did that went through it. Well, a few years later, playing guard here, we were down in summer camp, and I got picked to go to be in a training for how to build and operate gas chamber. I did not volunteer. I was forced into it. You know how the military does. Oh, you're going. That's the thing. Well, guess what? They said the first time we met on that day, before we leave here in 2 weeks, you're going to go through the gas chamber. Now, that was cruel, inhumane punishment to have to go through it two times in life. I don't ever want to go, but I dreaded it. I dreaded it. And you know, when you go through things, you think, oh, I'm going to come out better. Not with tear gas. Not with tear gas. You're not going to come out better. But there's one thing about it. That was a whole long time ago, and I ain't never went back. And Lord willing, I ain't never going again, all right? Now, why am I saying that? Brother Joshua was going to lead the children of Israel. Oh, Lord. Now, what I know of the children of Israel, I wouldn't want to have been the leader. They complained. They done so many wrongs. Why didn't God just kill them? I mean, he almost did one time. But they kind of remind us of us. There's not a good bone in our body. We complain all the time, every day. And when we ask God out of selfish reasons most of the time. Brother Joshua is now the leader. And God is going to tell him to do something that would kind of make me say, oh, Lord, the Jordan River is right over yonder. And for us to go into the promised land, we got to go over the Jordan River, and I don't have a stick. If you'll remember this morning, I just made mention of Moses' rod. Moses touched that rod to the water. Boom, that water just peeled back. When God leads in different ways. With David, he had a sling. With Moses, he had a rod. Joshua has nothing. Joshua wasn't given any instruments. God didn't say, now Joshua, here's how you're going to lead. In fact, when we read that verse, listen to the verse. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over there on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Where was Joshua? Well, oh, you just didn't read enough. Go back 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Count your verses and go backwards. Where's Joshua? You see, God knows how to use his people. God does not put us in situations that he doesn't equip us for. Oh, Moses needed that rod. David needed that sling. What did Joshua need? He needed the Lord. Now watch as we go further. So the Lord takes Joshua to the side. I'm going to use that terminology. And he tells him, says, listen, here are some things that we're going to do. The Ark of the Covenant that was mentioned in this last verse is the central of the whole marching of the children of Israel. It's not the 12 tribes. It's not every family that's in the 12 tribes. And oh, by the way, it wasn't Joshua. Neither was it Moses when Moses led them. God doesn't need me. I need God. Mm-hmm. Now, when we see ourselves like God wants us to see ourselves, wants us to do, all of a sudden, if we're a servant, we're going to do what a servant should do. Now, this servant was told, all right, God says, here's what you're going to do with the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. Before, when they would park at night and they would camp, the Ark, the Levite, boy, they take care of that and they put it in a spot. And all the God's folks would kind of put their encampments round about. In other words, the ark was the center of every night whenever they parked, that's where it operated. And that is a good function for us. If we'll let God be the center of our life, we're going to have a whole lot better life to live. And that they did it all the time. That become a habit. Now, when you let the Lord be a habit in your life and you do the same things over and over again like we do in this kind of habit, it becomes so second nature, we wouldn't have God in any other spot. Now, you take a person that don't go to church. He don't know where to put the Lord. Somebody says, well, now let me serve the Lord with gladness. They don't understand. Let me come before his presence with singing. They can't quite fit the bill. But whenever you make it a habit of doing the things of God, you know exactly what to do when it comes time. So, Brother Joshua was told, here, go tell priests to do this. And those priests had a bigger job than we realized they had. They had the job of taking that ark and go to a spot in the middle of the Jordan, okay? But here's the difference. The priests were going to take that ark of the covenant and they were going to lead. They were going to lead. Now, it's not the priest because, you know, the Bible doesn't say who's who in the zoo. Didn't tell us the name of any one of those priests. Another no name, because I really believe Joshua was really a no name except for this. God was showing the leadership capability of Joshua without him having to be in the center. He tells those priests they have a job, they have a responsibility, they have folks to tell. And one of the things that was communicated was,
when the Ark of the Covenant heads toward the Jordan, okay, when it heads toward the Jordan, you don't get close. Very unusual. Very unusual. Most of the time, don't we think the closer we get, the better we are? Wouldn't you like to be like at the foot of the cross? Wouldn't you like to bend outside the tomb? Wouldn't you like to bend there like we talked about this morning, feeding of the 5,000, helping distribute all the food? We like to think close, but on this occasion, thousands and thousands of God's people were going to cross over in the Jordan. And the Lord said, I want you further enough back. He tells the cubits, a couple of thousand, you stay back so you can see. A different request. So you can see. Now, what's so important to see? Go back to whenever, if you're in a massive group of people, like if you go to a ball game or something and the ball game lets out and you're going out like at some of these big stadiums and you're going out like a herd of cattle, you know how far you see? The person in front of you, maybe four or five people in front of you, that's about it. You can't see on that. If it's level ground, you can't see all those 100, 200, 500 people ahead. In other words, all you're seeing is people. Why did God do that? Listen, what's more important, seeing people or seeing the Lord? What's more important? If you separate yourself and get a little bit of distance between you, it's a whole lot easier to see this Ark of the Covenant. In fact, the further away you are, you got some vision on it. And as you're marching, listen, as they're marching, there's going to come a time when you're going to see it closer than at other times. Now listen and follow. So the children of Israel, they've been given their instructions. They've been told exactly what to do. They have an order of marching. They have an order in everything that they do. On that particular day when the Ark of the Covenant headed toward the Jordan, there was no Pharaoh or his armies. They done been gone. There was no any enemy pursuing them. They were just following directions of God. In our life, we make choices of how we follow directions of God. When you read your Bible, you have an opportunity to read anywhere you want to read. Anywhere. You can do, sometimes I'll take my Bible and say, well, you know, I hadn't read in this book in a little while. And I'll just open it up and I think, wow, why hadn't I read this part before? Or I might go over here to this book and I say, well, you know, why haven't I read that? In other words, the Lord has little gems of treasure that he'll present your way if you'll make yourself presentable unto him. Watch this. So the Ark of the Covenant, it goes all the way up to the brink of the water, right there to the river's edge. And when it gets there, there was a little thing that was mentioned and told before they got there, said when the sole of your feet touches that water. So when them priests got up there next to that water and they go up there and they make that step for that sole, when the bottom of their feet hit that water. Now you got to use the configuration here. That meant when they all got into the water just whoop. How? You figure it out. Why? Because God said it. Now when we trust God, it wasn't the power that was produced by saying, well, look at here what Moses had in his hand, and that's the reason it did it. You remember, because Moses' rod, it could turn into a serpent, and it ate all the other serpents, the magician serpents. Oh, look at that. It was a power in that. Or David's sling. Oh, man, he had that power to throw that one rock, and that one rock knocked that feller down. No, it ain't that. It wasn't the staves, the staff, the sticks that was holding as they was carrying. It wasn't that. It was what was inside. It was the presence of, it represented the presence and the power of God everywhere they went. Now that's very important to notice. And when God brought his power and presence right up to the river brink, right there to the bank, and he does what he does, and the people do what they do, when they put their foot in that water, God made it just rescind all of a sudden back. And not only just made it go back, he dried out the land. Let's go. So they get out there, and there's the part where we read. There's the part where we read that they got out there, that bare the Ark of the Covenant, stood firm on dry ground in the midst or in the middle of the Jordan. Now that's what we read. Now it comes time for his people. A couple thousand cubits back, they already see the water getting out of the way. There's dry ground. See them because at 2,000 cubits, let's just use it in old country boy terminology, a couple of thousand steps ahead, they already see the hand of God working before they ever get there. Now, you know how easy it is to come to church when you see the hand of God working in the church. You'll come to church when you don't even feel like it. If you see in the hand of God work, you'll do things that you'll bust a gut, the old terminology. You'll bust a gut to get to church because if the hand of God is working. Watch this. Them folks got up to where the river bank was. How did they know? It was all dry. You know what they were looking at? They was looking at what was leading them. They weren't concerned where the water was. Now, as a big group of people, if you go to Christmas parades, if you get stuck in Christmas parades nowadays and have to go to them, whenever they start them floats going by, you're standing in one spot and all the stuff is going by, okay? Let's flip it around. What if we're the one doing the marching, we're doing the walking, and we're going to say, man, how much further we got to go? The first part of that Christmas parade, whenever they get through, they get to go to where it's warm, okay? They ain't hanging around waiting for the rest of you, all right? The children of Israel, the first group that went across on dry ground when they got to the other side, but before they got there, about middle ways, they come to the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you know as well as I know, we're all nosy people. And you know as well as I know, when they got right beside it, they knew that was the presence and the power of God. The reason they walked over on dry ground was because of what God was doing. And they continued walking. They didn't stop because their orders were going clear over to the other side. The next group of people as they're going by see the same thing. The next group and the next group. In other words, until everybody got clear all across the other side, everybody got to pass by the Ark of the Covenant. Now let me tell you something. We're privileged enough to live in this year, 2025. We're blessed. But a couple of thousand years, I'm just going back that far. A couple of thousand years ago, there were some folks saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And them folks has done marched over on the other side. They done saw the power of God. They looked at it as they passed by. And then when they went to the other side, they can say, oh, I've already been there. Now, me and you, we just get to look at it. Sometimes we look at it from a far distance. Oh, the power of God may be small if we're a long ways away. But the closer and the closer and the closer we get, it gets a whole lot bigger. And you know what happens when you get close enough? You can almost feel the power of God. Don't you think when Mary was around the garden tomb and she made the statement, "Who will roll away the stone from the door?" And when she got there, the stone was already moved away. Her obstacle, she thought, was not an obstacle at all. And when she talked to who it was, she thought it was a gardener. And she said, "If you could just tell me where you've laid him, I'll go get him." Okay? And when Jesus revealed himself to her, listen here, the power of God just moved in that voice. When the Ark of the Covenant was so close, you could just feel the power coming from that. And when they got across on the other side, every one of them got across. And listen, here's the words that it uses. "And the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over." Not just, we didn't leave any behind. The Lord's going to take every one of us home. None's going to be left behind. "Passed over on dry ground until all." Why do we have to repeat ourselves? We repeat ourselves to be able to say, "Oh, guess what? If you didn't read it the first time, read it the second time. Every one of us that's saved is going to heaven. God's not going to leave us behind. He's going to take us all there. There ain't no way he's going to let one of his children go. He'll leave the 99 to go make sure he gets that one, and they were all going." That's how this works. The Bible said, "Until all the peace were passed clean over." I like them old country terms. Clean. When you get clean over Jordan, you're on your way home. I'm going home one day. I done got close enough that I can see the power of God in the journey. Because the children of Israel wasn't through traveling when they crossed to the Jordan. But whenever they got on that other side, they knew what had led them there. Quickly, and I'll hush in just a minute. Where was Brother Joshua? Brother Joshua was doing what God wanted him to do, and he walked over with the rest of the bunch. Where was them priests? They done what they supposed to do. They just, the four of them, they just carried that ark. What'd they do? They kept on walking. What about them children of Israel? Whenever they got across, they were all, every single one of them, was doing what God said. And when you do what God says, when you cross over Jordan, you got a better place to go. I got a home. I got a place. Got a mansion. Man, when God prepares a place, he's going to take care of every single one of us. Not one will be left behind. I'm thankful tonight for what I call eternal security of the believer. I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven just as sure as if I was there already. How about you? I'm thankful tonight for what Jesus has done and how he's made the trip, the journey, worth traveling. Because there's a lot of folks, a lot of my friends, hey, they're not in church. No, sir. Oh, they might go every blue moon. I got all kinds of folks that like to talk about church when you're around them, but they never participate, okay? But I got news for you. I'm glad to know it's not about me being higher than the other. No, sir. I just want to be one that follows the direction of the Lord. And you know, the songs we sing, the book we read out of may be old-fashioned and may be old-fogey, but I sure do like it, and I'm planning on carrying the same load all the way till I get to the other side. I'm thankful to the good Lord what he has done for us. Let's have a song of invitation. Don't know your heart. If you're not where you need to be with God, get right. That's all I can say, because friend, without him, there is no hope. Without him, there is no life. Oh, the life that the world has to offer, that ain't what I want. I don't want what this world's got, because if we have hope only in this world, we are all men most miserable. Let's stand and sing a verse of a song. God's speaking to you tonight, you just come. You get the opportunity to do what God wants you to do. And when you do that, you'll be a happy camper.